Well, the statistics are pretty clear. Sadly, many married people today are struggling with a secret addiction to pornography. And if that's your situation, we're here to help. I'm John Fuller, along with Greg and Aaron Smalley. They lead our marriage team here at the ministry. And Aaron, you do a lot of counseling. And I'm guessing that that pornography comes up a lot in marriage therapy.
Absolutely, it does. And it's not just within the counseling office. It's, as you said, it's relevant all over the place. And the research says 1 in 5 couples report that pornography is a source of conflict in their marriage.
And it seems almost low given everything we see in the culture.
It really does, but it's a source of conflict. You know, is it that they don't know?
Is it who knows?
But the chance of divorce doubles when there's pornography use by one or both in the marriage. And so it's just looking at, often it's done in secret. When it comes out, how do we handle it? Do we go and get help? You know, on and on. But it is something that is destroying marriages and is having a negative impact on marriages. And so what do we do as a culture, you know, just recognizing that it is not benefiting marriages?
And with that rather sobering framing, let's go ahead and turn to a conversation Jim Daly and I had with Rosie McKinney. Rosie leads a ministry called Fight for Love, and she has some really important things to say about this topic.
Rosie, welcome to Focus on the Family.
Thank you for having me. It's a great honor to be here.
Now, I noticed that accent. So you're from England.
I'm from England, from Yorkshire.
Yorkshire. You just love saying that, even.
I do. I'm very proud.
And but you're living now in the last 13 years or so in the U.S. in California, correct?
Yes, on the central coast of California.
And tell me about your family.
I'm married to my husband, Mark. And we have 2 boys who are now 9 and 11. And I'm attempting to homeschool them.
Well, let's start with a question we received from a woman, a listener to Focus on the Family, and then I want you to respond to this. She said, "My husband cannot go one day without looking at pornography. I told him it's an addiction and he needs help. He refuses to get any help because he is ashamed. I don't want it in my marriage or our family. We have teenagers and I'm afraid they'll find it and think it's all right. This could be the end of our marriage if we can't find a solution. Do you have any suggestions?" Now, this came to us. Of course, we responded. But how would you respond to that?
I think, first of all, I would validate that wife's instincts and tell her that she is listening very well to what the Holy Spirit is telling her, in that this is a problem. If he can't go a day without looking at this, this is, as she rightly said, this is an addiction. And she recognizes that. She's wanted him to get help, it sounds like, but he's refusing to get help. And she's worried that her marriage may end as a result of this, like it's going to get progressively worse. Yeah. And she's probably right. However, I do have great hope for her, because for her to get to the point where she's actually reaching out to you guys, I would suspect that she's been in pain for a very long time. And she's felt isolated and ashamed and hopeless and helpless. And she's probably tried many, many things to fight for this marriage already. I would, from all the wives I've worked with and the wives in my community, I would say that she's probably tried the things she's heard, like just be more sexual with him, just be more graceful with him, be more forgiving, create a loving environment so he doesn't feel like he has to do this. She's probably tried that again and again, going against her own intuition, against her own feelings. But what I would say to her is, you haven't done the one thing that actually works, because the problem, as far as I see it, is that she needs her husband to get into recovery, but she doesn't know how to do that because he won't reach out for help.
Right.
And this is, and what I'm going to say now is so simple and it makes so much sense, but yet for some reason we're not quite getting there yet. And that is, what is the reason that most married men get into recovery? You know, do they suddenly feel convicted one day? Some, maybe, a small minority. But what actually gets guys into that therapist's office is their wife forcing the issue.
Not accommodating, but forcing it.
But forcing. And there is something tremendously painful about a wife being brought to a place of desperation and pain where she has to force this issue. And so my whole heart, my whole passion is to tell women that they don't have to wait. You do not have to wait till your marriage is on the verge of a divorce, till you're on the verge of a nervous breakdown. You can actually take proactive action right now. Yeah. If you know or suspect that pornography is an issue in your marriage, there are things you can do now to help bring him to repentance. Mm. It isn't you that's going to bring him to repentance. It's following God. It's by being obedient to God. And that's where I get tremendously excited, because he's already provided the answer for us in the scripture. We just have to look at what it says.
Right. I want to talk at that higher kind of elevation. Give us the statistical information. I mean, what does it look like in culture with the church and outside the church?
Okay. Well, we're very fortunate in that Josh McDowell did a massive study quite recently, where he spent like $300,000 to get the data that we so desperately need. And he found out that of guys who, evangelical guys who regularly attend church, 79% are regularly using pornography.
That seems unbelievable.
It is shocking.
Now, that's everybody. That's married and single. Break it down a little bit between those.
So married guys, it's 55%. That's over half of marriages are struggling with this.
And these are people who are going to church regularly, not just the general constituency. Yeah. What does that number look like for the general population?
It's not that dissimilar. It might be a little bit higher, but it's not that different.
So 78% of men in general and in the church, and then about 55% of married men use it, and define regularly.
At least once a month.
And this is actually going to a website or something. It's not just seeing a movie that's a little risque or catches you off guard.
Deliberately seeking out alluring material for the purposes of arousal.
Okay.
They're deliberately doing that.
Well, Greg, there is certainly a lot of shame that accompanies the use of pornography. A lot of guys and gals feel shame. How do you help someone who says, I've got a problem, but I'm too embarrassed to do anything about it?
Yeah, I love that question. It's so important to understand that sin thrives in an environment of darkness, lies, and secrets. So, I mean, by being unwilling to share that, I'm creating an environment where this particular sin is just going to thrive. Plus, you know, sin is very difficult to keep secret. I mean, you think about the energy that someone is spending to keep that a secret versus spending that same probably level of energy to not just confess, but then to get help, leading to freedom, leading to a better connection in their marriage. I mean, they're spending more time, more effort, more energy to keep it secret. I think, though, for the most part, that person has to understand that probably either pride. So maybe an attitude that I am okay, I can deal with this. I don't need to let her know, him know. It's either going to be pride or fear that's really keeping them silent. That fear is, well, if I do share, what if she leaves me? Or what if she always looks at me like I'm this, you know, sinner, this bad person? In just recognizing it's the fear that probably keeps us stuck and unwilling to share that, versus, man, God teaches that confession creates freedom. And there's freedom awaiting me and us to do that. I remember when Aaron and I, you know, had these conversations around pornography, and I didn't want her to know, because I didn't want her to look at me, you know, like, you've once again failed. Like I was so afraid that she'd see me as a failure. Mm. And yet when we did have this conversation, as we dealt with this in our own marriage, how she responded made such a big difference, not only in our relationship, but even actually, quite frankly, how she responded was a part of the healing process for me. And I love that Aaron now is able to counsel, you know, spouses, women or men who on how to respond when their spouse needs to share something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so important to recognize that, you know, talking about vulnerable stuff, whether it's pornography or an addiction of some sort, maybe alcohol or medication or whatever it is, that we have to show up in a way that's tender, and soft, because otherwise the person isn't going to want to talk to us. Our spouse isn't going to want to talk to us about it. And so as they do take that step, that risky step of coming towards us, how do we want to show up? How do we want to meet them there? And yes, you're going to experience emotions of anger, of your own fear, of what does this mean about us, about our marriage, about me, about him. Talk about that, but talk about it in a way that's safe. If you need to take a break and, you know, get some advice or counsel and, you know, take some time to pray and to, you know, really get your heart back open, do that. And then sit down and have that conversation.
Well, you could call Focus on the Family. We have counselors for free who can have that sort of consultation with you to go, okay, you know, I know my spouse wants to share something, or I'm going to confront my spouse about something. Mm-hmm. We help me think through how can I do that in the best way. And exactly what you said,
well?
Create an environment that feels so safe, because hearts will open. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a journey, but you guys will get to the other side of this if both are really focused on being honest and creating safety.
Well, and even go and see a counselor. I had a couple recently say, you know, this conversation we just had, we would never have had it so well if it was just the two of us. It would have been out of control. And me just being there, having that third party present brings a level of safety.
Yeah. Well, I strongly believe that somebody listening right now needs to call Focus, because you can't get over the hurdle of shame or fear or guilt, and you need to find freedom. You've wrestled with this long enough. Give us a call and set up a time for one of our counselors to give you a call back. They are safe. They will treat your matter with great confidence. They will help you get going in a positive direction.
Yeah, to think through how to have that exact conversation.
Yeah, they're really good. My family has taken advantage of opportunities to connect with these counselors on multiple occasions. You will benefit from the call. 800, the letter A in the word family. 800-232-6459. We'll link over to the conversation we had with Rosie. Her book is called Fight for Love. Look for that link in the show notes. If you can, donate to help offset the cost of that book. And again, just check the show notes for that. Next time, we'll hear from Bill and Pam Farrell. They'll share about what to do when your spouse is addicted to video games. For now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and this has been the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
In light of the Supreme Court's recent decision on abortion, are you ready for what comes next? And how should we respond as emotions run high? As Christians, we need to be ready, and Focus on the Family can help you prepare. Join us every Monday to hear inspiring stories from people who faced their own pro-life moments and experienced God's love. To learn more, go to focusonthefamily.com/seizeyourmoment. That's focusonthefamily.com/seizeyourmoment.